The Morning Rush podcast is brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up with Bud Light for game days and check out Budweiser's limited edition Freedom Reserve. Please drink responsibly.
They're going to run and get that boot.
This game's still alive and the Hawks have a first down.
Who wants to talk football?
It's Ronnie Wingo, number 20. Touchdown, Arkansas.
They talked the bar.
This is the Bud Light Morning Rush podcast.
Chad Morris was able to meet with the media yesterday in his follow-up press conference from after the game against Mississippi State. Now, we all heard those comments and how irate Chad Morris was, how he was just not having it. Everything was completely and totally unacceptable in the eyes of Chad Morris. Well, he doubled down. He did not hold back. And here's some of the things that he had to say yesterday to the media.
After going through the film and visiting with our coaches, we did a very poor job of executing, especially in some key moments of the game that could have been some, give us the opportunity to have a little bit of a different tone at that time of the game. We ask everybody that's associated with this program to be at a standard every day. And that standard is best, whatever their best is. And we didn't do that. We're not doing what it takes to play winning football. And that's the attention to the small little details in everything that you do. I'm not going to compromise. The love of the Hogs across our great state and across the country and the passion that our fans and alumni have for our great university needs to be shown in competitive effort by everybody every day. And we got a lot of people. A lot of people pouring their hearts and souls into this program, but we need more, and we're going to get more.
Still very upset by the performance, and Chad Morris coming out and saying that these things cannot be tolerated, they will not be accepted, and the standard in our program is nothing but your best, and there is no doubt that Arkansas did not get their best on Saturday against Mississippi State. Chad Morris finds himself in a very precarious situation where you still have one game left. You go on the road to Missouri day after Thanksgiving. And with that performance that was turned in against Mississippi State, it makes you wonder exactly, okay, how does he approach this? Does he start sitting all these upperclassmen that he doesn't feel like are completely bought in? Does he sit some of these players that aren't giving their best, as is the standard? Or do you just have to roll with what you got in the season as quickly as possible, move on to next year, and we'll see exactly who's still around the program going into spring ball and into fall camp going into next year? It could be that. But it was also another comment, or at least another soundbite, that Chad Morris had when speaking about specific players and their suspensions this week.
Starting yesterday, I suspended Ryan Pulley and Cam Curl. They will not be here today or yesterday or any part of this week for unacceptable behavior, actions that are completely unacceptable to what we're about.
Now, he didn't go into specifics exactly what was the unacceptable behavior and actions of these two players, but I think we all know. Due to the reporting and how DJ Williams was one of the people that asked the question to Chad Morris about a couple of players flirting and exchanging information, or at least attempting to exchange information with some Mississippi State dance members, that looks to be the case of why they were suspended. Now, here's the thing about this whole situation and how weird it is, because I've never really seen anything like this at an Arkansas program. But I understand why Chad Morris suspended these players. I get it. Your things are kind of spiraling out of control right now. You got to send a message. You got to put your foot down. And you cannot allow behavior like that to be able to be seen, be able to be talked about, be able to be referred to when you're having a losing season like this. And the optics of it shows that your players, some of your upperclassmen, some of your starters, do not have complete focus in the task at hand in the game that they're about to play. When they're over there flirting with cheerleaders, hey, if somebody wants to spit game, I'm all for it. You know, shoot your shot. Go over there, see what you can find out. I don't have a problem with that. What I do have a problem with, though, is that when your team is losing as bad as what they are, especially this season, you going over there, it just looks bad because you're losing. If you're winning, if Arkansas is having a decent season, not have to be an 11-0, 10-0, it doesn't have to be that. But if they're just having a decent season, a successful season, if you will. This isn't a story. No one even cares. In fact, if Arkansas would have won the game, and then you heard about two players going over and flirting with some Mississippi State dance members? Razorback fans are back. All right. Obviously, they were ready for the game. They were hyped up. They must have gotten their numbers. Good job, guys. But that's not the case. When you're winning, none of this matters. But when you're losing, it is magnified tremendously. It is magnified by the media. It's magnified by the fans because we need explanations. Sometimes when we're not in the locker rooms and we don't get to see exactly what's going on in a program, we try to find anything that we can possibly see and point to and say, maybe this is why they're not doing as well as what they should be doing. Maybe this is why they looked like the effort wasn't there. Maybe this is why, because we need explanations. And so with this whole situation and this story with these two players, it makes you wonder, is this an outlying scenario where these two players have been great? They haven't done anything wrong. They've always been buying into the program. They've been putting forth all the effort. But then this one lapse in judgment is the outlier to these guys. And then Chad Morris had to come in and say, hey, listen, I know that you guys have been really great so far this year, but I can't tolerate this, so we got to suspend you. Can it be that scenario? Or can this be indicative of not only these two players, but some of the other players on the team, where that's where their focus is at? It's not on winning. It's not on the game. It's not on the team. It's not on buying in. It's just doing whatever, going through the motions, trying to end the season. You're losing. Who cares? Might as well try to flirt with some cheerleaders while we're here. Those are really the only two scenarios you can have. And we'll probably never know. But those of you who are upset by this whole program and this whole season and what it's been, you see that, and it makes you even madder. You start adding it to the list of things that have gone wrong this year and that you have problems with. But you got to at least give some kudos to Chad Morris for putting his foot down, suspending these guys. He says he will reevaluate them after the season is over. I would be shocked, unless there is just some other things going on, I would be shocked if these two players are kicked off the team or anything like that for something just like this. Again, there could have been more behaviors or more actions that we just don't know about. But I'd be really surprised if that happened. But you got to be able to find a way to get control. If you're not winning, it's easy to spiral out of control, especially with a bunch of players that you didn't recruit that are about to be out the door anyways, or they don't really care. They don't really want to buy in, and it can be a cancer spreading through your program that you cannot have. You can't have players with that attitude, especially when you have a whole crop of new recruits coming in, some guys that you think will really be game breakers, guys that will be able to put you over the top, start really getting back to where you're supposed to be as a football program. The last thing you want to do is welcome all those players in, and then you have some guys already in the program that have been established for a few years that have this mentality. You can't have it. And that's why, for at least from all the things that I've been seeing, I think that there are going to be quite a few players leaving this program. Some of them may just be transferring out because it's their decision. Some of them may be a mutual decision. It may be a lot of players. We already know a few of them that have transferred out. But you got to figure out, if you're Chad Morris, how to get this program back to where you had the excitement of it all, where you're smiling, you're proud of where you're at, you're proud of the guys that you have in, you're proud of the coaching staff that you've assembled and that they're getting the job done. You got to get back to the point where you're proud of it and you think that it's going the right direction. Because right now, I don't think Chad Morris is too proud of anything. I don't think he's happy with anything. And I mean, we're seeing a completely different coach from what we saw before the season started, where he was on doing tackling drills and fumble drills, offensive linemen, just kind of messing around with them, having a good old time. It's far beyond that. This is a mess that has to be cleaned up. And you're hoping, if you're a Razorback fan, you are hoping Chad Morris knows what he's doing. Because if he doesn't, this can really spiral out of control really quick. You think it's bad now? Just think how bad it could be in the coming years, if you can't get out of this rut that you find yourself in.
Arkansas's home for the best sports talk. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Adams with it at the 45. Adams skip it. Adams gets outside. Watch out. Hits the sideline. The Jet. Touchdown, Arkansas.
former Missouri wide receiver TJ Moe into the Morning Rush. Good morning, TJ. How you doing this morning, man?
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you?
Oh, we're doing well as you can when you're talking about a 2-9 team going on in the season and the struggles that they have had. But, you know, who's not struggling right now is Missouri. It looked like it was a pretty rough start there for the Tigers. They lost to Georgia and South Carolina, Alabama and Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Started off 0 in the SEC, but they've really picked up some steam. Won 3 straight SEC games against Florida, Vanderbilt, and Tennessee, and more than likely will beat Arkansas. So go 4-4 in conference. Just overall, what has been the change in this team for where it looked like they were going to be struggling to even make a bowl game to boom? Now they're sitting here and nobody is their team that nobody wants to play at this point.
I don't know if it's so much a change. I suppose there is a change defensively. Defensively, they played their best game of the season last week against Tennessee. But overall, a lot of that's competition. I mean, you open the first few games you're talking about there. South Carolina is not a great team, but they're probably better than Tennessee, and they're better than we played last week. So you're in a place, I think, where the defense has improved, but you had to play Alabama and Georgia to start the year, two top five teams in the country. You're going to lose those games. They had no chance down in Tuscaloosa, but they did have a chance actually against Georgia, and they just made too many mistakes. This is actually a pretty good football team. I think I was talking to Brad Nessler on my podcast yesterday, and he's about the fifth national guy that I've talked to that says, doggone it, this Missouri team is actually really good. And Nessler knew that. So I think the first game that Nessler called, he's the, for anybody listening doesn't know, he calls the SEC 230 games for CBS. So this was Missouri's first one last week against Tennessee. But he's done a bunch of Georgia games, he's done a bunch of Alabama games, and they get to go in and talk to the coaches before the game. And both Nick Saban and Kirby Smart came in and said, fellas, if you get a chance to call that Missouri game, I'm telling you, they're a hell of a lot better than you guys think.
Oh, I mean, that's pretty strong words for Brad Nessler, especially somebody who knows a lot about SEC football, that's for sure. And I think that one of the...
Well, no, that was Saban and Kirby Smart that said
Oh,
that.
You're saying, but Brad Nessler was telling you that story is what you're saying. That's right.
Correct, okay. Yeah. He said he went into the coaches' meeting and sort of just... They had both already played Missouri early in the year, and he said, look, when Nick Saban tells you something like that, you listen up. He's won some football games around here.
Yeah, no doubt about it, And one of the reasons why Missouri has been really successful this year is just the play by Drew Locke. I don't think he gets enough credit for just how good of a quarterback he is and the type of numbers that he is putting up. Of course, he has 23 touchdowns, only 8 interceptions, has nearly 3,000 yards passing. A lot of people were curious to see how he was going to develop and continue on with new offensive coordinator Derek Dooley. What do you think about his play this year, especially with the expectation that he had going into the season? Do you think he's exceeded that expectation so far?
No. I mean, last year he had 44 touchdowns, so your expectation from there is that, you know, he's a potential Heisman finalist, and he's the guy that compensates for some of the shortcomings in the early season. And I think that was sort of the expectation. Drew is a really good player that I think nationally gets the proper credit. And I think as far as the Missouri fan base itself, doesn't get nearly the credit that he should. He's a very good quarterback that has not made great decisions necessarily throughout his career. If there's one thing he's missing, it's that he doesn't always make the proper decisions. No quarterback does, but I think that's something that he can improve significantly that would catapult him. If, put it this way, if he made really good decisions like some quarterbacks do in college, he would be the first overall pick. He's that talented where he's got it. I mean, Brad Nessler said the same thing. He called the game, and I noticed it a little bit more too against Tennessee. There were like 5 or 6 jaw-dropping throws. Where his 2 best throws of the game on Sunday, both would have been touchdowns and were dropped. I mean, Emmanuel Hall was behind his guy by 4 yards. He dropped it. Rashad Floyd was behind his guy by 3 yards. He dropped it. Both were walk-in touchdowns. And Drew Locke throws the best deep ball in college football, and he's got a rocket arm. So he's probably still going to be a top 10 pick, is my guess. But Missouri fans get frustrated because they think this year, I'll give you an example, against Kentucky, they didn't get a first down in the second half. If they get one first down, they walk away with that game. Instead, you know, you leave it into the hands of the officials and make a bad call at the end and you lose the game. All you had to do was get one first down. Didn't get a single one. You went 8 3-and-outs in the second half. So stuff like that I think amongst the Missouri fan base is pretty frustrating.
Speaking with T.J. Moe, former Missouri wide receiver right now on the Morning Rush. T.J., I like to get people's perspectives of what they think the coach has done at the school that they talk about, and in case the school that you played at, Barry Odom. I know that there's been some expectations, especially when SEC, or the few years ago when Missouri played for the SEC title games a few years. Then Barry Odom comes in. What do you think about the job that he's done, and do people still have a lot of faith as far as the Missouri fans and what Barry Odom's building and what he's trying to accomplish with the Tigers?
I think Missouri fans are sort of perpetually dissatisfied, and it makes sense because they're a little bit of a tortured fan base. You know, you had the flea flicker, kickball, you have the fifth down against Colorado. It's like over the years, a lot of terrible stuff has happened to this football program and never has really gotten over the hump, never won a conference championship since like the 60s. And, you know, so they're perpetually dissatisfied, even under Gary Pinkel, where Pinkel won double-digit games five times. And that happened all between 2007 and 2014. So five times in like 7 years or 8 years, he did that. But even so, everybody's like, why can't we win the championship? Well, you were in a conference with Oklahoma and Texas, and then you're now in a conference with the SEC, and any one of them can win the title. And by the way, Alabama may have the best squad in the history of football. So you're probably not going to win the title. So people get a little frustrated with that. I am on the other side of, I think, understanding the SEC a little bit better, to where Missouri sort of has to know its place, and that it's probably more of a South Carolina type of program today. You're not Georgia, and you're not Florida. You're not even Tennessee. You know, Tennessee is one of the original blue bloods of this conference that, when they get it up and going again, are going to have 102,000 people in their stadium screaming and winning a lot of games. So I think you sort of have to know your place, and your place is that you get in a good coach who knows how to recruit, and which Barry Odom has done. They've had six freshmen score a touchdown this year, Missouri has, and a lot of them contributed against Tennessee, where you really got to see it on display. And some of those guys are two-star kids that have just turned out to be really good players. Tyler Beatty, their third-string running back, is their pass catcher out of the backfield, and he looks like a budding star. He was a two-star kid whose next best offer was Pitt. So they have kids who can do it. I think Odom's done a really good job. Give me a funny story about him real quick. So during the game, a lot of Missouri fans and whatever, they hate me for whatever reason. Don't ask me. That's Twitter.
Yeah.
So to get on Twitter, everybody hates everybody. So somebody tweeted at me and said, TJ, do you – first, keep in mind, this guy follows me, so it's really funny that he's telling me to shut up. All he's got to do is unfollow me.
Right.
And he still follows me. So he said, TJ, do you ever shut up? You are unbearable. This is why you don't get invited to anything, even Thanksgiving dinner. So I retweeted it. And I guess Coach Odom's wife saw it. And so Coach Odom the next day texted me and said, I don't know why, but I'm all for it. My wife says you're invited over for Thanksgiving.
Ooh, that was brilliant. Did you have a response to that one?
He really. I said I will gladly be there. I would be delighted. Thanks, Coach. And he is very funny, and that's sort of his That is something, even when stuff's going rough, because he comes on my radio show every Monday.
Right.
And even after the Kentucky loss, he's energetic and happy as hell, and just he's ready to roll, which is why the team's able to fight back from the 1-5 start from 2017 and then the rough. I mean, it's a lot of teams would have quit after that Kentucky game. You started out, you thought you were going to be a team that could really compete for the SEC East title, hope Georgia tripped up and go, and then you lost a heartbreaker against South Carolina during a freaking monsoon, and then you lost a game against Kentucky that you controlled for 60 minutes. They didn't get their first lead since the first quarter was after time had expired, and they got an extra play. So there were some heartbreakers there, and I think a lot of teams would have quit, and Missouri didn't, and you're seeing what's happening because of it.
TJ, let me ask you about this battle line rivalry. Is it a rivalry? Is Arkansas and Missouri a rivalry game? And if it's not, do you see it maybe getting to that point too? Because I know a lot of Razorback fans have disdain for this forced thing, but what are your thoughts on it?
I think it's a basketball rivalry because people in Missouri hate Mike Anderson. To be honest with you, I think that helped it a lot. And I think it's totally unjustified. The only reason to not like Mike Anderson is because it always felt like he was looking to go somewhere else. I mean, just every year it was like there were jobs. He leveraged every job to get a raise and then eventually left. But forget that. That's just business. I mean, to take your fandom out of it for a second, he took a Missouri team to the Elite Eight. You know, it's like he brought them back from the Quinn Snyder era. That wasn't a lot of fun here. So there's not a lot of reason to hate Mike Anderson. Aside from the way that he actually left, he sort of ducked out of the back, wouldn't talk to anybody. It's just people didn't enjoy that. I think that helps the rivalry. But the football rivalry is sort of forced. Eric Beisel, if you remember him, is trying his hardest to make it a rivalry. But it's, you know, it's tough, too, when neither team has been particularly good. Missouri was the first year that it was the cross division, and I think it was 2014.
Right.
But outside of that, it's tough. When the teams aren't very good and there's no history, it's a forced rivalry. And unless you got something like, hey, you stole our coach, then it's more of a tough go. I do feel it in basketball. Every time basketball season comes around and Arkansas plays, there's a lot of talk about it. Around football, I mean, you think about it. I think Chad Morris, by the way, is a good coach. He struggled this year, but I think he's a good coach, and he'll get him up and around. But the spread this week is 21 points. That's tough to get excited about.
You know, I agree with you on that. And we can end with that question, too, because I was actually going to ask you about that. Arkansas 2-9. It's been a really rough go for Chad Morris in his first season. His recruiting class is really looking up, so people are hopeful that he can get some players in. But what if you've watched Arkansas, what's been the problem there? Do you think it's just a talent issue? And what do you think about Chad Morris and how he'll be able to get it going?
I like Chad Morris. The one thing is that even at SMU, didn't he win 7 games last year?
He did.
So, yeah, okay, let's say this. So I do like Chad Morris, and I think he's going to be a pretty good coach. However, is there a chance that he could be Willie Taggart? Willie Taggart has gone from place to place and won 7 games and sort of resurrected a program to being respectable and then moved on to the next job and gotten a good offer. And he's done that a few different times. And you're seeing this year, FSU is getting absolutely hammered. Mm-hmm. Could he build them up? Maybe. But, I mean, there were people in Tallahassee ready to fire him after week 3. You know, so could that be Chad Morris? I guess it's always, until you see a guy get up and win 8, 9, 10, 11 games one year at a smaller program, it is tough to forecast. But I think offensively, he's been very good. They scored on Alabama. As a guy that's watched a lot of Alabama, I can assure you that is not easy to do. So I think he's a good offensive mind. I think he's a guy that knows what he's doing. I think he's going to build Arkansas back up. Brett Bielema just wasn't what everybody thought he would be. You took him from Wisconsin. That was supposed to be a big get, a guy that went to 3 Big Ten championship games and was very good. Well, I think went to 3 Rose Bowls, whatever it was.
Right.
Bielema was really good there, and it just didn't work at Arkansas. And by the end, it was like, there ain't much there. What are you going to do here? And so you're replacing a guy who didn't bring him a lot of talent and runs an entirely different system.
Yeah, it's certainly the case. Razorback fans are hopeful, but it's really tough right now to get excited about football, especially this game upcoming this weekend. But, hey, it's SEC football. Anything can happen. TJ Moe.
Yeah,
go ahead, TJ.
No, I think Arkansas is going to be fine. This is the fun of the SEC that you didn't have in the Big 12. I've played in the Big 12 for 3 years. You mostly knew, and this has changed a little bit thanks to Matt Campbell and Paul Rhodes, but you mostly knew Iowa State was going to be terrible. That when Ron Prince was at Kansas State, they were going to be horrible. That Kansas was an automatic bye week. And Baylor before our bye. It's like you knew in the old Big 12, it's like, all right, you're going to lose to Nebraska, Texas, and Oklahoma. You're probably going to beat everybody else. That's that. In the SEC, any given year, Arkansas, I mean, under Bobby Petrino, we're tough to beat, man. Mm-hmm. Vanderbilt under James Franklin, we're tough to beat. Back-to-back 9-win seasons. And so you go on anybody. You saw this year. Missouri lost to Kentucky, who is ranked like number 11 in the country. Any of these teams can come out and compete with anybody in the country on any given year because of the resources the SEC gives these teams. And that's what makes the league a lot of fun. I think Arkansas will be back sooner than later. I think they got the right guy for this moment at least. And, you know, it's all a cycle. I was talking to my Tennessee buddies. Jason Swain is the guy that I hop on his show every time Missouri plays. And I pointed out that Missouri beat Tennessee by the same score that Alabama beat Citadel. And he's like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, bro, it's all a cycle. You're going to be tweeting me the same thing in 3 years.
Yep, absolutely. TJ Moe, former Missouri wide receiver. You can also catch him as the co-host of Hardline STL on 590, The Fan there in St. Louis. Really appreciate it, TJ. Have a happy Thanksgiving, man. Enjoy the weekend and looking forward to catching up with you later down the road.
Yeah, man, happy Thanksgiving to you guys. Thanks for having me on. Good luck this weekend. I hope it's closer than 21, honestly.
I think we all do. That is for sure.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes. You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.
Give is to Alex Collins straight up the middle. And Collins on the run. They won't catch him. Alex Collins is going to take it all the way to the house. Touchdown, Arkansas. 80 yards.
We'll see. Things can happen. Things can change. College football is a weird thing. That is for sure. We're going to get into Would You Rather Tuesday. Got some good questions. Of course, you want to follow along and call in 877-377-6963. And it is presented by Williams Tractor in Fayetteville, Berryville, and Bobcat in Northwest Arkansas and Rogers. They want to show their appreciation by inviting you to their year-end celebration. The end of 2018 is a perfect opportunity to save big, where you get 0% financing or choosing cash back on current year Boomer and Workmaster compact utility tractors. Hurry into Williams Tractor in Fayetteville and Berryville and Bobcat in Northwest Arkansas and Rogers now, because the New Holland year-end celebration ends December 31st. On behalf of Williams Tractor, they would like to wish you a very happy holiday season. All right, let's go ahead and get into a little Would You Rather on this Tuesday. Now, Tommy's not here. He's out today. So, Ty, you're going to be my guinea pig for my questions. Can you handle that?
I'll do my best.
All right. It's pretty simple.
It's hard to live up to Tommy Kraft expectations, but
there's no way to live up to them. You just got to hope and pray that you can at least accomplish something nice in your life. So, okay, just going to go through a few of them. We'll start with the big one that I asked on Twitter, and I'm interested to see what the results are looking like as far as the polling of it all. Would you rather relive the 2013 Razorback football season with Brett Bielema and 9 straight losses and 0-8 in conference, or would you rather relive the 2018 Razorback football season, still going on right now, but 2-9, probably going to be 2-10, having to deal with all that? Which one would you rather relive?
I think 2013 was slightly better, which both of them have been awful. So I think you got to say 2013. You had LSU, you had them. Mettenberger goes down, and then Anthony Jennings comes in and somehow, some way, leads LSU down in Baton Rouge. I think I would say 2013 is a little less painful for Arkansas fans, even though they're both up there in terms of misery. I'd probably say 2013.
I would too, but the audience would not. 80% of our audience say they would rather relive the 2018 football season.
Is that
80%?
Is that because of disdain for Brett Bielema, or is that actually a realistic?
I mean,
what they believe?
It's got 500 votes into it already. I mean, I thought it'd even be close, and if it was anything, I thought 2013, because, hey, like you mentioned, you were close in some games. You had some good players. Had some positivity heading to the end of the season, at least a little bit. You had some freshmen that looked really good, like Hunter Henry and Denver Kirkland and Dan Skipper and Alex Collins. I mean, you had guys like that. I don't know if you have that right now. I don't know. Like,
also
living into the moment, I figured like more people would say 2013 wasn't as bad. But that's saying, that must be the disdain for Brett Bielema. That's the only thing I can think of.
Played pretty well against Texas A&M, Johnny Manziel that year too.
Yeah. I don't get it, but
I'll say this:
80%.
That was my freshman year of college, and that the reasoning behind that freshman year was so bad. Football played a large role in that, because you want to go to a school that has a good football team, that it being in the South, and that didn't happen.
Well, and also hindsight, and I keep saying this: hindsight, that 2013 team should not have gone 3-9. That they had NFL talent pretty well littered on that roster. Trey Flowers, Chris Smith, Darius Phylon, Martrell Spate. I know they were young, but Hunter Henry, Alex Collins, Denver Kirkland, Dan Skipper, Travis Swanson was a senior. Hiero Small got drafted into the NFL. You had him too. Tevin Mitchell. I mean, you had guys that were drafted or played in the NFL for a little bit. All over that roster. You don't have that this year.
Nope.
So I'm shocked to see those results. 80% say 2018.
It's got to be the disdain for Brett Bielema.
Has to be.
That's the only conclusion I can come up with that's logical.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of, too. All right, would you rather see Ohio State or Michigan in the college football playoff?
You know what? We've seen Urban Meyer go up against Nick Saban back in 2014 with Cardale Jones, 12-gauge. He was on his third-string quarterback that year. He matches up from a coaching standpoint well with Nick Saban. Probably him and Dabo are the only two coaches in college football that come close. Gus has had some success, but typically it hasn't been consistent, which no one's consistent against Nick Saban. So I think from a matchup standpoint, Ohio State would play them closer. But I'm intrigued like you are. I'd like to see what Harbaugh can do. Now, I don't think they have the offense that can get it done against Alabama's defense, even though that their defense is pretty incredible. I just don't think they could get it done. But I'd go with Michigan just because the storylines heading into the game, as you mentioned, would be really fun and be great radio to talk about heading into that college football playoff game.
I don't like Urban Meyer or Jim Harbaugh. I probably dislike Urban Meyer more than I do Jim Harbaugh just because of the recent events. I do not see Urban Meyer coaching in 2019, at Ohio State at least. He's going to step down. He's going to cite health issues. Something like that's going to happen. And I don't think Ohio State, I think they're kind of falling apart. They've looked really average
almost
the past few weeks. Yeah, I mean, they have not looked good. Michigan's been pretty dominant. And their only loss of the year is a close one to Notre Dame at the start of the season, who is undefeated
on the road.
Yeah. I mean, they may be the real deal. I want to see Michigan just because of the Jim Harbaugh, Nick Saban thing. I don't like Michigan. I will not root for them. And it won't hurt my feelings if they don't make it. But I just want to see something different. And when you're going up and when you don't have really any personality players, which I don't think Alabama and Michigan have, they don't have the Johnny Manziel type player or Baker Mayfield or somebody like that. They have good players. And, of course, Tua is the best quarterback in the country. But if you don't have those personalities, where you got to go? Well, you got to go to the coaching staff to see if they got personality there. Nick Saban's got personality. He certainly does that. And we know Jim Harbaugh does. So two of the highest paid coaches, at least you can say that they're worth the money if those are the two coaches getting in the national championship game.
Michigan fans are finally getting the return on Jim Harbaugh, it looks like. Now, if they don't finish against Ohio State and Columbus this week, I think some Michigan fans will be a little disappointed, even though the two teams you lost to, one's probably going to the college football playoff and the other one might have a good shot. Even then, I think Michigan fans will be disappointed if they don't get a college football playoff appearance.
Yeah, I think they will be too, that's for sure. But I'm kind of disappointed too because it looks like more than likely Michigan and Alabama will play each other in the semifinal, not in the finals, if it were to end today. Because Alabama be the one seed, Michigan be the four seed, and you'd have that. So that'd be kind of a little disappointing. Still be a great game, though. I'd still be looking forward to it, but national championship would definitely make it for the most fun. But I agree with you there as far as getting Michigan. All right, would you rather... This one's a good one for you, Ty. Would you rather flirt with cheerleaders of the opposing team before a game, or would you rather have people bring you stadium food during the game as a football player?
Stadium food during a game. My flirting skills are not up to par, so it wouldn't result in getting a phone number or anything. So yeah,
stadium food. During the game.
During the game. Okay. Yeah.
So you just got done with a third down stop. You're coming off the field. About to have to go right back out, and you want to stuff a hot dog in your face before you...
Oh, Mark Sanchez, your old Jet quarterback.
Yeah.
Used to do that.
Yeah, where's he at now?
Just got signed by the Redskins, actually.
I saw that. Congratulations, Marky Mark. Jeez, what a joke. Butt fumbles all back. No, I just threw that one out there. I should have made this one, since it's not doing Thursday, it should have been, is it ever okay? And it should have been, is it ever okay to flirt with cheerleaders before a football game?
If you're
game.
A good football team, yeah.
But if you're a bad football team, you can't do it.
If Michigan players are flirting with Ohio State cheerleaders before the game and they win in Columbus, all power to
moves.
Them. But the fact is, you're 2-8 heading into that game, and your focus was on the cheerleaders. And by
can't
gosh,
do that.
It was Mississippi State cheerleaders. Like, you can do better than that, can't you? Like, Arkansas has played Alabama, Ole Miss. Like, there are better.
I don't know. Have you seen their dance team? Pretty good looking. Just saying.
It's Mississippi State, John.
I know, but I'm just saying.
They're still in the SEC, but like, you know, when you think of like it. The cute girls in the SEC, you're like, oh, Mississippi State.
Maybe they
man.
Thought they had a better chance. I don't know, but I'm not going to clown anybody for trying to go out there and spit some game at some good looking girls. I'm never going to have an issue with that. But the problem is that you're going out in a season where you're really bad, and then you get trounced by that team. The optics look like you weren't focused, plain and simple, and you can't do that. If you win this game, it's not a story. We're not talking about it. In fact, if you win the game, you're like, hey, keep doing that more. Obviously, that's what you need to do. That's obviously what it takes to win. But you lost, you got trounced, you looked like you didn't care, and this adds to that whole storyline of you out there flirting with the dance team of the opposing team, trying to get their phone numbers or whatever it was you were trying to accomplish, and it blew up in your face, and now it's a storyline. And now you're suspended for the Missouri game. Congratulations. I hope it was worth it. I hope you got something out of it. At least a Snapchat username or something.
You think Tyler ever got an opposing cheerleader's phone number mid-game or before the game or after the game? Do you think he ever have the guts to do that?
Not with Petrino as head coach. not as Bobby Petrino. So could you imagine what would happen if instead of being out there running drills or putting in some warm-ups, but you saw Tyler Wilson over there yucking it up with some Mississippi State cheerleaders? Bobby would be like, hey, buddy, go over there and do your drills. Let me take care of this flirting with the Mississippi State cheerleaders.
Let's ask him if he comes on the show this week. Let's ask him about that. See what his response is to that.
His response is probably going to be something where he's very uncomfortable, does not want to talk about it, does not want to say anything,
maybe
so he gives a very generic answer.
Maybe that means he did it then.
Yeah, probably.
There's probably
not
a great story behind that, John.
Probably. But okay, real quick before we get out of here, the last one says to do with Thanksgiving. Would you rather not have turkey on Thanksgiving or not have gravy to put on anything at Thanksgiving?
Not have turkey. Gravy goes on everything. Mashed potatoes, the meat, the bread. It doesn't matter.
I'm with you.
Got to have gravy.
I'm with you. You got to have turkey for Thanksgiving, but if you don't have gravy, what's the point? And that could be any type of gravy, too. So just got to have your gravy, too. So we got to do a Thanksgiving. Had to have a Thanksgiving question in there as well.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
You're listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.